Back together again, you and I chatting it up all around Thursday style, May 14th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart's decision to suspend her 2026 gubernatorial campaign was the big story on this edition of the program, with analysis from yours truly, along with blogger columnist Chris Powell and WTNH Capital Report panelist Liz Karantowicz. Geez, is there anything going on today? I'm not sure. Hi there, how are you? 207 over almost 208 right here, Connecticut Today. Erin Stewart suspending her campaign for governor on the Republican side, which now puts the spotlight or spotlights on Ryan Fazio, who is the, I would say, maybe the presumptive nominee at this point. I don't know. You don't know what Erin Stewart's pledged delegates are going to do for the convention coming up day after tomorrow. Actually, the Republicans are starting tomorrow. It's a two-day convention. Friday into Saturday, the nominating votes will take place on Saturday for the governor and the lieutenant governor, so I've been told, out at Mohegan Sun. But a couple of things here as we get into this discussion. Number one, no stupid jokes, no name calling, because the stuff I've seen online aimed at Erin Stewart, whether you like her or not, some of the stuff is just vile. So we're not going to do that here. If you sound stupid over the next 2 days, you're going to get hung up on. So nobody, you know, you'll get hung up on. I'll dump your call with a delay. So, you know, if you're going to try and call here and be cute, go somewhere else. All right, because you've got a person here who was in the spotlight, and yes, she apparently, and let's understand too, that these are allegations. She hasn't faced a day in a court of law. We don't know if it'll even come to that. Yes, the state police are involved here. We all know that. So let's have a little class in talking about this. But listen, having said that, what are your thoughts on this? So she went ahead and issued a statement, of which you heard part of from Chris. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here just in case you've been tied up and you're like, wait a minute, she dropped out? And you know what has happened here. There have been several allegations. This started a few weeks back with allegations that somebody in her office went ahead and looked at maybe backdating property tax payment checks to get rid of the 18% state mandated interest. She denied it was anybody in her office or she knew if anybody was doing that. Then you had the scenario where she claimed she got a quote about what she would get as far as a pension is concerned, because she served 12 years as mayor and two more years, I guess, on the Board of Ed or the school board, but that's only 14 years. Minimum is 20 years to get a pension in New Britain. Then the scenario of the credit card stuff. So here's what she said. I'll give it to you, and we've already got people hanging on the phone here. So we'll get to that momentarily. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. She wrote in part, today I'm announcing that I'm suspending my campaign for governor of Connecticut effective immediately. The continued allegations from New Britain City Hall have understandably taken over this race and diverted attention away from the critical mission of saving our state from high taxes, high costs, the most expensive energy in America, and low opportunity for young people. Now she continues here, quote, as I said Tuesday night, public service comes with scrutiny, and I've always accepted that. Anybody who knows me, whether from my years serving the people of New Britain, working alongside colleagues, or simply as a friend, daughter, wife, and mother, knows the kind of leader I've always tried to be. She goes on to say here, I'll give you one more paragraph, because then she starts to wax poetic about the campaign, about her donor base and whatever. She says, I take the allegations that have been made against me very seriously, and for that reason, I'm suspending my gubernatorial campaign effective immediately so I can focus on addressing those claims. Yesterday, Wednesday, I requested copies of the relevant documents. We'll be reviewing them carefully. I will take accountability for any mistakes. And here's an important line, folks. What did I say yesterday? And I intend to make full and complete restitution to the city of New Britain my home for anything that I owe. We didn't hear that prior to today, did we? It is extraordinarily difficult to make this decision because we have run an amazing campaign so far. All right, and it goes on for another two or three paragraphs. No need to really wax poetic here about your campaign. We kind of know what happened here. But what did I say yesterday, and it's been pointed out by other folks on this radio station today, when you use the R word, and I mean, obviously, whatever legal representation she has in her campaign or personally, one would think that that legal representation was used to help her draft that statement. But this is the key. This, you know, last few days, you didn't hear anything like this until today. Quote, I will take accountability for my mistakes, and I intend to make full and complete restitution to the city of New Britain, my home, for anything I owe. So there it is. You cannot issue that sentence and still maintain a campaign. You can't. Because that sentence, and look, I'm no lawyer here, I'm no legal eagle here, but to me, you hear that sentence, and it kind of, sort of, sounds a little, sniff test there, kind of sounds a little bit like, well, yeah, you got me. And again, these are allegations, nothing's been proven yet, there's where the state police are involved now, and that's serious stuff. So your thoughts on this, and again, the obvious thought, and again, let's go easy on the state party chairman, Ben Proto, who's a friend of mine. Everybody's now jumping on him, whatever. Listen, let's let this play out. Because I'm sure if Erin Stewart or anybody in her position has information that could help her, if she's coming under scrutiny and she can talk and name names, maybe she will. I don't know. I don't know how this shakes out, but the allegations are serious here. And again, there's another part of this that beyond the money, beyond the 20 grand or the 200 grand, is going to have a lasting impact on people. We'll talk about that momentarily. Mike and Shelton, Mike, hang on, stay there. You'll be first up when we go to the phones. But we start with a simple question here at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Erin Stewart has suspended her gubernatorial campaign. What are your thoughts? I'm not asking you whether you're you can tell me if you're happy or not, or sad, or PO'd, or laughing, or giggling, or use any emoji you want. But what are your thoughts here? And will there be a lasting impact on the voters of Connecticut? I'll get to that momentarily. Mike, you're first up after we do a little business, traffic and weather together, all that. Coming up, going to the phones on WICC. All right, great to be with you right here at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Erin Stewart, to the surprise at this point of maybe not too many people, suspending her gubernatorial campaign. Now, by the way, if you're wondering, because this comes up all the time, when you suspend your campaign versus ending it, I think it has to do with what you can do with the money you have already raised. So a lot of times a suspension of a campaign is not the same as formally ending it. People say, well, you know, if it's suspended, that means could it start again? Well, technically, yeah, but ... Let's kick off the phone parade today. Mike starts us off in Shelton. Mike, how are you? What's up?
I'm doing well. I just right off the bat, I want to ask, who was responsible for doing the annual audits of the expenditures? And when do we just flip that rock over?
Yeah, Mike, there's a lot, Mike, right? This story here has, as upfront as some of the details are in this, Mike, there are other questions in this, like you just raised here. I mean, yeah. She was mayor for 12 years.
You know, 20 grand 1 year is one thing. 20 grand for 12 years.
Yeah.
Who's watching the store?
Yeah. And, you know, you wonder here, Mike. And she claimed early on she had approval for all this. All right. Well, where's your approval? Where's it signed off? But, you know, Mike, I think that at the risk of sounding just trite here, To me, there are other layers in this, you know?
Oh, I mean, it takes three people to approve my expense reports when
really?
I travel for work. So
yeah. I mean, Mike, and that's the point here. And the allegations are, well, as soon as she left office, people started talking. You know, it's.
So who else in City Hall was playing fast and loose?
Well, and here's the thing. And Mike, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, is that going to be part of her defense here? Now, two wrongs don't make a right. But as Mike said, for him personally, he needs three approvals on expenses. Right? When I was doing my Road College broadcast, as I said, my expenses would essentially have two approvals. In other words, I was running the crew of broadcasters we had at Quinnipiac, so I was kind of on one angle approving myself, but then we had a couple, three business managers in the athletic department, and I would hand in and say, this was my last stuff in the road trip. There were two forms. You know, for everything I spent, there were two forms plus a receipt. And they told me, hey, Paul, we love you, but unless you do these two forms for the trip, which include gas and tolls and car rental and hotel rooms and everything and $35 a day, meal money, whatever, no alcohol, that's on your own tab. You want to have a cocktail at the bar in the hotel and sit and, you know, have a few libations with the coaches. That's on your dime. I said, okay. But again, I needed to claim that two multi-part reimbursement forms and receipts, of which I made two or three extra copies of each one. You know how much paper I was pushing every day? And yeah, the forms were on a computer, but I still had to go and fill them out on a computer and get that all printed out and do it in email. And oh my God. But they paid me for it, so I'm not going to care. But, you know, this is, as our last caller said, there's an angle to this that's just wild. Where, all right, you know, sometimes if she or any other politico got caught after like a year, you know, or something like that, or 2 years. But you have a scenario here where, now again, who knows how far back these allegations go? But, you know, 12 years? 6 2-year terms? But again, let's stop short of drawing a conclusion on this, because I am sure, as if and when this investigation goes into more layers, if it will, things are going to shift, are going to change. And I know there are people online saying, well, you know, what are the Democrats? It doesn't matter. Do you understand something? From this point forward, it doesn't matter what the Democrats are doing. Now, it does in a sense, but in reality now, it's a different thing. Don't do that with me. Don't blame the current. Don't blame the TV stations. Don't blame Hearst. The situation, again, these are allegations, but nobody at Hearst allegedly made her do this stuff with the city P card. Nobody at the current did. Nobody at a radio or TV station did, as much as you people would like to say. Is it a question of coverage? Well, not really, because, you know, those outlets have covered a lot of the corruption that's gone on at the feet of Governor Ned Lamont. But the problem is, in a blue state, the voters, not the media, but the voters tend to look the other way every time you list stuff that goes on, under a blue administration here. Lord knows how big of a list have I rattled off with that. Deirdre Giffords, the whole alleged bribe thing with her and a Medicaid or Medicare investigation. Costas Diamantis, Terrence Cheng, Diamantis with the school construction board. The massive cost overruns on the state pier in New London. I mean, all this stuff. Doug McCrory, all this stuff going on. But my biggest fear is not so much the money thing. It's an attitudinal thing. We'll talk about that coming up right here. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Erin Stewart looks to be in big, big trouble, perhaps, after suspending her race for governor. Give me your thoughts on that. Joining us right now, here's a guy who tries to keep us from throwing arms up in the air with pointed context and commentary. Chris Powell, go check out his stuff, chrispowellcolumn.com, chrispowellcolumn.com. Mr. Powell, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Still dressing myself, Paul.
That's always a good thing.
Usually by dinner.
Yeah. Chris, you and I have been around long enough to see a lot of just bizarre stories in Connecticut politics, and we've seen the Joe Ganim saga, the Santa Petro saga, the John Rowland saga, the stuff that's going on now, even the old-time guys, Bill Rado and Naugatuck, remember him for years and years?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, remember that, too? I mentioned that to somebody, and they officially confirmed I was old because they said never heard of him. But this one, Chris, this is just wild. I know you've written about it. I don't know whether you've done anything since she dropped out today, but what are your thoughts on this?
I think the Republican Party just got a huge break.
Yeah.
48 hours from disaster. You know, finally she's out of the way now, and let's all forget it. But, you know, the party should have seen this coming for the last couple of months or so. She was self-destructing in public. I really came to think she was not very politically adept at all. She must have had something going for her to get elected as a Republican in New Britain for six consecutive terms.
Yeah.
But, you know, first she gave an interview in which she said that she was always getting bribe offers from city residents looking for favors, and she didn't report them, or she didn't take them, but she didn't report them either. And then she, when questioned about it and realized it didn't look so good, she kind of tried to minimize it. And then there was the tax collector scandal that came out, that her tax collector was accused of playing fast and loose with the money and backdating checks so people didn't have to pay late fees.
Yeah.
And it was reported that she applied for a city pension on the basis of her mayoral service, and the pension she was applying for, there was no form for it in city government. It didn't exist. But she thought she could, fool them into giving her a $40,000 a year pension. When she was asked about that, all she said was, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't you try to fool the city into giving you a pension that wasn't authorized? I mean, all that crazy stuff happened before this, credit card misuse thing came up. And, you read that report that you just put on your internet site. I've only scanned it, but it looks like it's saying that most of the money on the credit card seems to have been for personal things. I mean, this is just madness. John Rowland got in trouble, for
a hot tub.
But he also got in trouble. The Journal Inquirer caught him using
your paper,
a Republican State Central Committee credit card for personal expenses. And Roland's excuse was, I just mistook the credit card. You think people would learn, but either the arrogance or the stupidity here is just overwhelming. But, thank God for a free press, which the Republican Party is not always happy with, but a free press has just bailed out the Connecticut Republican Party with 48 hours to spare.
Yeah. And Chris, yes, your paper, the JI, doing great stuff like that. But the question, Chris, and I'm sure it's popped into your mind, she wasn't a one-term mayor. This was spread out over years. Was there a code of silence? Were they keeping their powder dry, saying, well, we'll get her back when she tries to run for governor? Because
there's suggestions in some of the reporting that people are informing on her now that she's out of office.
Yeah.
that they, you know, knew certain things were happening, but didn't betray them until she was out of office and, you know, couldn't get back at them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, it's not every day you go from running for governor to preparing your criminal defense against federal and state charges.
Jeez.
That's a hell of a turnover.
Yeah, Chris Powell is the guest. Check him out, ChrisPowellColumn.com, ChrisPowellColumn.com. Yeah, so now, you know, Chris, she releases her delegates. I would assume the majority of them go to Ryan Fazio, but, you know, the Republican Party in the state, of which I'm a registered member, I should say that in case anybody's swearing at me, you know, do enough of those delegates just out of spite, Chris, go to, you know, Betsy McCoy to give her 15%? And here we have another, I don't know, maybe a Leora Levy situation again. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens on the weekend.
Well, I'd be surprised, but, you know, Betsy McCoy has no real record in Connecticut. She had a troublesome record in New York. She couldn't get along with her, you know, the governor she served as lieutenant governor. I'd be very surprised if she had much support. But you know, look, the Republican Party today is not the Republican Party that you know, I remember from 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very angry fanatics in the party now, and not as many harmless, bitter old cranks like myself. So I don't know, but I'm hopeful that Fazio will get the nomination. He's a serious guy. He's almost a policy nerd, which I think would be very helpful if he can master the issues involving the many failures of the last couple of decades of Democratic regime in Connecticut. He might be effective. I mean, I would just like to see a gubernatorial candidate spend his time every day making, you know, 2-minute videos for social media and the internet site, addressing in some depth an issue of how we are failing in Connecticut and what we can do about it. I think Fazio is a serious guy, but he's certainly has not addressed all the issues that I think are out there.
Yeah. Finally, do you think if there is enough support, Chris, do you think that Josh Elliott goes ahead and primaries Ned Lamont?
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, could he be bought off with certain, you know, policy promises? I don't mean in
a
financial bribery sense. He's a very issue oriented guy. Could a few more, you know, far left promises from Lamont make him, you know, not go to the primary? I don't know. I bet he'd go through it anyway. You know, the Democratic Party now, at least the activists, are very far left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, they're almost off the scale. I mean, John Larson lately has been pandering desperately to the far left with press releases every day about, you know, more government intervention and this and that and more Trump hysteria. Larson obviously thinks that the far left, the very far left, controls the Democratic Party, at least in the first district. Bronin, you know, he's probably moderate compared to Larson, but Elliott, he's got a very detailed agenda. He's the master of his issues, and he's, you know, very ready to turn Connecticut into a people's republic. And I think probably, you know, my guess is that half the Democratic Party in Connecticut is. Can Lamont persuade, you know, non-leftists to come out to vote for him? Who's going to win the leftists in the first district? I'm not sure, but everybody in the Democratic Party seems to think the party is, you know, just careening toward the far left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, grab the popcorn, the peanuts, the pork rinds for all of that. ChrisPowellColumn.com is the site, ChrisPowellColumn.com. Mr. Powell, always good to hear your perceptive thoughts, and we'll chat down the road. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it. Yeah, there you go. In case you missed it, you may be getting in your vehicle of choice saying, wait a minute, what did I hear about Erin Stewart? Well, she has not ended. There's a technical reason you don't end your campaign, but you suspend your campaign for governor 2 days, actually 1 day. The GOP convention starts tomorrow out at Mohegan Sun. And so now, with all this impending legal stuff hanging over her head, investigations, the state police are involved here. Oy, certainly looks like Ryan Fazio will get the nomination at the convention this Saturday over the weekend. Will Betsy McCoy get any trailing delegates from the pile of delegates that Erin Stewart had to maybe cause a primary? Who knows? Joining us right now from WTNH News 8's Capitol Report every Sunday morning at 10:30, campaign veteran, PR professional Liz Korantowicz is on the phone with us. Liz, it's been a while. It's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. And Liz, you can't script this, Liz. I've been going for 3 hours on this. I think she did the right thing. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think that she did the right thing for so many reasons in suspending the campaign. And, you know, I've been talking to folks all over the state about this issue for the last few weeks, obviously. And I think there's just been a prevailing heaviness among folks, not just Republicans, but Democrats and unaffiliated people who are participating in all of these things. And I think people just feel there's just a heaviness that I think people want to just not have to go through this again, frankly, in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah. And Liz, it's interesting because, look, she tried to run once in 2018. People said it was too soon. She dropped out, if you remember. So she's running here.
I remember,
She was able to get she wasn't sure about the primary funding, but the funding for the general election. So it's like, all right, this is going to be entertaining here, even for somebody that wouldn't vote for her. But you look at this and you say, man, on the surface, Liz, and you and I have dealt with candidates before, on the surface, everything can look really good in a golden boy or a golden girl here. But then you get something that happens and you say, how the heck did that happen? You know what I mean?
I do. And I think there's just, I think we're unfortunately far from over in the investigative process here, and that has to play out. And I think that for that reason, Erin did the right thing in getting out. She needs to focus on rallying her legal team and dealing with and confronting the investigation head on and getting through that piece of this. Because the campaign is something that, frankly, is secondary to that.
And Liz, and the guest is Liz Korantowicz from the Capitol Report on News 8 Sunday mornings at 10:30. Liz, in a campaign where I'm sure had former Mayor Stewart stayed in, or had the nominee been Betsy McCoy or Ryan Fazio, you know that corruption was a growing theme on these campaigns, so that would have been pretty much impossible, unfortunately, if Erin Stewart had been the nominee, and then this stuff came out.
Correct, and I think that a lot of folks, obviously, in prosecuting the campaign, want to be able to talk about malfeasance and talk about abuse of taxpayer dollars, and had this come out, And Erin was the nominee, obviously that wouldn't have been possible. But I think everybody right now is trying to sort of look ahead. Obviously we have the convention coming up this weekend.
And
everyone is sort of shifting gears, both on the Democrat side. Governor Lamont has a challenge from Josh Elliott, who is saying he has 15% qualified to force a primary. And frankly, Paul, I think with the shifting dynamic on the Republican side, there is a better than not chance that the Republicans end up in a primary as well.
There
are a lot of folks that are coming from the 5th Congressional District, all the western part of the state. They have to drive all the way across the state to go to a convention. And that was really a stronghold for Erin Stewart. And so those folks are going to have to decide whether they want to drive all the way to the Mohegan Sun to go to a convention that they may not be that excited about. And if those right now there's 1,100 delegates that were elected. If that number goes down, you know, to 800 or 900, the threshold for Betsy to qualify for a primary goes way down.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, she could qualify to be on the ballot with anywhere from 120, 150 votes.
Wow. And I'm seeing
which is a very feasible number, considering she's been all over the state.
Yeah.
Talking to town committees and making herself known, and her message to a lot of folks is very compelling. And she's an incredibly compelling speaker. So I think this is not a foregone conclusion. I think Ryan will win the nomination.
Yeah.
But there is still a better than not chance, in my view, that Betsy McCoy is potentially going to be able to qualify for a primary.
Yeah. And then, Liz, we have the scenario, and I'm a registered Republican, and I do not shy away from informing my registered sisterin and brethren of the Republican Party. Listen, you can vote for who you want, I say, but we saw what happened in 2018 when Mark Boughton was the party endorsed candidate. We saw what happened a few years ago for a Senate seat when Themis Claridis was the endorsed candidate,
right.
And everybody's going, look at that, Dick Blumenthal's at 50%, let's rock. We all know what happened. So I think, Liz, in deference to no one here, I'm being right up front, I think the Republican voters of this state should be careful for what they wish for if they're not on board here. But that's just me.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're right. Gone are the days where the party nomination, frankly, means something when you go to a primary, right? I mean, in 2018, you had David Stemmerman and Bob Stefanowski, who went the signature route, didn't even go to the convention.
Yeah.
And you're right to point out what happened in 2022 in the Senate primary. I mean, Themis Claridis went into that convention with over 70% support among the delegates. And came out at about, I think it was 54% and two primary opponents.
Yeah.
And then went on to lose the primary. So I think there are no foregone conclusions. I will say Ryan Fazio has qualified for his public financing grant.
Okay.
Betsy was very far away from qualifying for that grant at the time of the last campaign finance report. So I think there's still a long way to go here, but it's certainly going to be an interesting few days, both for the Democrats and the Republicans in the convention.
Yeah, and final question, Liz. So you do think what we might see that was unheard of a few months ago, you do think Josh Elliott does go through and doesn't just release his delegates and say, hey, I was just here to make a point. I don't want to cripple Governor Lamont and getting a Republican elected. Are you hearing he will go through with a primary, or do we not know?
I think he will. I think the only thing that would stop him would be if he does not get the public financing grant. And he has until July to apply for the primary grant that would give him about $3.5 million to spend in about a month, which is an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of radio ads to buy, Paul.
There we go. And you know what? You know what, Liz? I've had people on this show who say, oh, he's got no shot. And I say, yeah. And Zohran Mamdani was a young backbench member of the General Assembly, of the New York State Assembly, and people laughed at him because he was a failed rapper. How did that work out, right?
Look at Luke Bronin.
Yes.
Luke Bronin just shocked John Larson. If John Larson, who had gotten his delegates in the first round and not tried to get people to switch for Gillian Gilchrist to get her to 15%, he might have won it on the first ballot and been done.
Mm.
He didn't. Bronin comes back, and now he's faced with not being the party nominee for the first time in 100 years. So anything is possible.
Hey, it's only it's only 97 years, Liz. Now, come on, don't go the extra 100 years. Hey, great stuff. Liz Karantowicz, you see her along with our regular contributor, John McKinney, and you know me, love him, the king over there, our buddy Tom Dudchick. It's the Capital
Report.
Tom Dudchick, yes. Say it loud and say it proud. The Capital Report every Sunday morning, 10:30 on WTNH News 8. Liz, enjoy the weekend, and we will chat down the road. Appreciate it.
We will. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it, Liz. Thanks. Liz Karantowicz, who is a longtime Connecticut political establishment person there, public relations executive, campaign person, worked with Governor Rell for years. And there you go. All right. How about that?